CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
Peter Drucker said, "Management is doing things right. Leadership is doing the right things." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who do the right things. Our first playmaker began his career as a dishwasher, while our next playmaker's company helps firms coordinate charitable giving and volunteering. With us today is a CEO who purchased the company he began working for in 1999, while our next Playmaker's company has been ranked number 927 on the 2015 Inc. 5000 list and number 11 for best places to work in Dallas. His great Playmakers are Alan Rubin. Alan is CEO of Lane and McLean Distributors, and Matt Combs. Matt is CEO of Your Cause, and we're going to begin today's show with Matt. Matt Combs is founder and CEO of Your Cause, a Dallas-based software provider for employees and nonprofits to more effectively manage their philanthropic, volunteering, sustainability, employee engagement, and overall donor relations programs. Your Cause connects companies and their employees with the causes impacting our world. Now, Matt is an entrepreneur and has been doing startups since graduating from Cornell in 1999. He has spent the last 10-plus years finding great people, convincing them to join his efforts, then becoming a team member with those who see values in his ideas. As I mentioned, ranked number 927 on the 2015 Inc. 5000 list and number 11 for best places to work in Dallas, Your Cause is rapidly expanding its operations through the ongoing deployment of end-to-end solutions for enterprises, nonprofits, and general users. Well, Matt, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve.
Now, your background is a BS in Agricultural Resources and Managerial Economics from Cornell. What was your original intention with that background, that major?
Yeah, well, the program at Cornell is the standard business program. And because it's a land-grant school, you have to take an assortment of classes around agricultural and economics. The reality is I did a lot of my work in entrepreneurism and taking a lot of the classes that are necessary for starting a business post-graduation.
Well, Your Cause, the idea really came to you about 8 years later with a story about 12-year-old Patrick, who is a child soldier. Tell us that story. It's the impetus of Your Cause. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So I had just sold my last company, and I was on the handoff. And on a handoff, the entrepreneur is watching their baby being taken away from them. And it's the only time in your career that you will start going home at 5 o'clock. So I went home. I walked in the door, and on the television, I see this little boy. And he's speaking about what's going on in Uganda, how Joseph Kony had kidnapped up to 50, 60,000 young boys, forced them to be child soldiers. And this little boy, Patrick, was describing how he was kidnapped. His sister was forced to become a sex slave to the militia. And Patrick, to save his own life, had to take his parents to the river and shoot them in order to save his own life.
And this is a 12-year-old boy.
And I was a father of one at the time, about to have my second. And I just thought, I couldn't even imagine a world where my kids might even come close to facing these scenarios. I said, I want to do something about it. And I called everybody I knew, and I kind of get like that. When I get a cause in my mind, I want to convince everybody that it should be the most important thing for them. And called some of my very close friends and my business partners. And I said, hey, I think we should do something. And the response was pretty standard of, we'll help, but who do we help? How do I do this? And they knew that I was into technology, and they said, well, why don't you do something on the web that can tell this story and that can help us help you go make that difference? And the original formation of Your Cause was pretty simple on how are we helping anybody, anywhere, at any time, for any reason, connect to the cause that made most sense to them or they cared the most about. So we really did start it on helping Your Cause, because I wanted to help you in your cause. And we're an epic failure. And a lot of people don't know that, but at the very beginning, I went to my partners and I said, in 6 months, if I cannot get out there and raise $100,000 and get 20,000 people to join us, then it's not going to work. And I learned that from my last business. Don't drag it out. If the signs are on the wall that something's not going to work, you just got to back out. And I told my partners that. I don't want to waste people's money. And 5.5 months later, we had 17,000 people in our network and we had raised $70,000. And that was every family, friend, everybody I knew possibly got them to sign
up. You have to start
up
someplace.
Yes, exactly. And so I went to my partners. I said, it's not going to work. It simply is not going to happen. We can't get the volume to where we need it to be. And that's when one of my partners said, well, I've got a contact into the business world, some large enterprises, and this was a local company. They have about 230,000 employees. And I went down, and it was a total favor meeting. And I knew it was a favor meeting because it was at noon, and it was in a back conference room, and there was a lot of interns in it. So I knew someone was doing me a favor to even listen to my spiel. And I make the pitch, and I said, hey, what if we took this cool platform I built, and we white labeled it, where now your company could empower your employees to get out there and connect to the cause that mattered most to them, and you can start to engage your employees. And every entrepreneur dreams of the scenario when somebody says just yes without having to like make you fight for it. And I got the yes, and I was absolutely shocked. But then the more magic words came when this person said, well, how much? And I was prepared to give it away. And I immediately said, oh, well, and I tossed out a price. And the price is immediately accepted, which I learned right away. Oh, never toss out pricing when you get a quick.
It's always too low if they accept it too quickly.
Exactly. So I went back to my team and I said, guys, we're going to stay in business, which is awesome news, but we need to white label this platform and we need to deploy it for a company of 230,000 employees. And we need to do it in the next few weeks. And that's really where your cause was born.
Well, I'm going to simplify your business, and this is very, very simplistic. It's basically you're taking the employees or the employer's money and finding a way to get that money to a cause, the cause they want. But go into more detail about what you're actually doing.
Yeah, so a lot of large companies, and nowadays we're seeing it with smaller companies, they want to provide a benefit to their employees to support the things that matter to them outside the workplace. And they want to provide things like payroll deductions or a matching program where if you give a dollar, I give a dollar. Or they want to do things where if you volunteer a certain number of hours, we'll reward you with a donation to that charity or the charity of your choice. And it's well known that an engaged employee is a more effective employee. And a more effective employee helps the business metrics of the company, which ultimately allows them to maintain these types of programs. So really what we're trying to do is engage the employee in one way or the other. And it could be through giving. It could be through volunteerism. It could be through sustainability. It could be any activity that is really making a positive difference for the world. And as a result of that, the company can aggregate this data and tell a bigger story. What are the companies doing to make this positive difference, which ultimately helps them drive their business metrics, whether it's attracting new talent or simply just a reputation in the community for selling their products.
So you've put this platform together, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're well into seven figures as far as number of employees mm-hmm. that are involved in this. How many employees and how many companies are you working with?
Yeah, we just went over the 100 enterprise mark. We offer our platform to right around 4 million total employees. We will process out this year right around $500 million to right around 80,000 different nonprofits, and we'll log right around 12 million volunteer hours or so through the platform. So
well, I understand from some research I did that the first quarter of 2016 was the largest, single largest client expansion a 3 month period since 2008.
Yeah.
Why is it? Have you gained the traction now? Is it really starting to take off?
Out of all honesty, if I knew that answer, I would have done it a long time ago. We grew more in the first quarter. We grew just as much in the first quarter as we did pretty much all of last year. I think what we've learned is we've gotten our cadence down. We've gotten our infrastructure in place that allows us to scale up the way that we are scaling right now. I expect to see a lot of the same in this coming quarter. But I think a lot of it just is we've become more mature. Our business processes have matured. Our leadership position in the market has established itself. We're starting to be able to pick up more business more rapidly, and it's helping grow those numbers.
Well, you have an ongoing commitment that is never taking a portion of any donation transacted personally into the company. Yeah. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's our entire strategy. I just don't believe, and I never have believed, in profiteering off of someone's generosity. I'm asking people to step up and help make our world a better place, and I don't find it's I'm in a position where I should cut into that or interfere with that. On the other side of it, if a company is going to provide a benefit to its employees, provide a benefit and cover those costs. So we do not take a percentage of any donation that flows through our system, which is it's not typical. There's a lot of companies that do that, and they take high percentages, 5, 7, 9% of that. We make our money off of a licensing fee that we charge to the large enterprises. There's a cost of stuffing an envelope and putting a stamp on it and writing a check, and the bank will charge me, and I'll charge that back to the client. But we do not interfere with the generosity of the employees, because we believe that we want the employee knowing that 100% of their donation is getting to the nonprofit, which is why they do it through the employer, which is what will drive engagement in these programs.
It's difficult enough there. The charitable organization has costs anyway. Mm-hmm. It's even worse if you're taking from that and making it making even less. But your company, I understand, is based on four pillars: client focus, flexibility, customer support, and having fun.
Yeah.
Talk about that last one.
Yeah. I kind of look at it as the reason why we get up in the morning, right? Anybody can go work for a big business, and I chose not to. I chose to create my own, and I'm only going to do it if I'm having fun doing it, right? And I encourage it internally. I honestly believe when you're having fun, you're doing some of your best work. You're willing to put in the extra hour, the extra energy, and I really try to promote it internally. Let's have fun. Let's not be reckless. Let's not be a bunch of goofballs running around not being productive. But I really do want us to enjoy each other, enjoy our work together, and enjoy the work that we do with our clients. It's the same. I preach it to our clients as well. Every relationship we have in the market should be a very fun relationship for us.
You might as well have it. You're spending more time doing that than being at home. You might as well have fun with what you're doing. But you have one program that's involved with relief disaster. Tell us how that ties in with your cause.
Yeah, at the very beginning, we kind of got on the map, I don't know if you remember back with Haiti, when Haiti, the earthquake in Haiti hit. In the market, there was no solution that was enabling employees to act quickly in order to really respond to these disasters. And we learned along the way is, well, why don't we just empower these companies to immediately get out there and deploy these solutions for their employees and be able to take advantage of the generosity while it's top of mind. So we do have a product that our clients can quickly activate that allows them to literally, I think it takes 5 to 10 minutes to build these pages internally, deploys it to their network of employees, and can get people activated, whether it's what took place in Ecuador or Japan or Haiti or wherever it may be. We really want to empower our clients to be able to engage their employees.
Well, if someone has the interest in getting involved with your cause, tell them how they can find out more about you.
Yeah, if you're a nonprofit, you can go to yourcause.com. We have an entire portal for you to access information. If you click on the top section in the business area, there's a complete instructions on how someone can get a hold of us and learn more about our corporate offering.
And that information is also on our website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com. Well, Matt, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Matt Combs is the founder and CEO of Your Cause. Don't go away. We're going to be right back. We're going to speak ice cream and machines. We're going to speak with the CEO of Lane and McLean. His name is Alan Rubin. Back with Alan right after this.
Operation Kindness is the original and largest no-kill animal shelter in North Texas, having saved more than 80,000 cats and dogs over almost 40 years. On a day-to-day basis, Operation Kindness cares for approximately 300 cats and dogs, with another 150 in foster homes. In the past 12 months, more than 4,200 homeless cats and dogs have received medical care, clean shelter, nutritious food, and playtime until they were adopted into a new forever home. Go to OperationKindness.org to adopt or foster a dog or cat. Donate or volunteer. That's OperationKindness.org.
Wipe Out Kids Cancer is a Dallas-based nonprofit organization founded in 1980 dedicated to raising awareness and funding for pediatric cancer research on a national basis. Wipe Out Kids Cancer has raised over $4 million in the crusade against pediatric cancer and spent over 30 years developing programs to not only fight childhood cancer, but to also provide hope and support to kids and families battling cancer. Our mission is to work relentlessly for a day when children are living cancer-free. You can help make a difference. Go to WOKC.org to donate or volunteer. That's WOKC.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to talk ice cream machines. We're going to talk with Alan Rubin. He is president and CEO of Lane and McLean Distributors, the North Texas distributor for the Taylor Company, since 1946. He began his career in the restaurant business in 1972 as a dishwasher and continued through the ranks, which led him to the position of multi-unit supervisor. Since 1926, the Taylor Company has been the worldwide leader in food service equipment innovation. Taylor manufactures the highest quality frozen treat machines and commercial grills in the industry. Now, Alan transitioned to restaurant equipment sales in 1990 and joined Lane & McLean Distributors as a partner in January of 1999. During his career with Lane & McLean, Alan has overseen the ice machine sales department and led the national account team as a division sales manager. In 2015, Alan successfully purchased the company and now proudly serves as president and CEO. Well, Alan, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, you have an interesting business. What's the history of Lane & McLean, and how does that history tie into the Taylor Company?
In 1946, there were two gentlemen, Earl McLean and Jim Lane, were freight salesmen in the Dallas market. They answered an ad in the newspaper for a distributorship, and that was the first Taylor distributor in the United States.
And this was back in
1946, and they had like 12 states. And the business has continued ever since then, and a lot of ups and downs and a lot of neat things happened since then, but a good 70-year business in the Dallas market.
Well, really, they were there almost from the beginning, because that was 20 years after the Taylor Company started. So it really was new, and I'm sure there weren't a lot of machines, a lot of competition out there.
No, there wasn't a lot of competition. They had to pioneer a lot of area. And Jim was the salesman, and Earl was the accountant. Jim passed away in 59, and Earl needed somebody else to sell because he was the accountant type. And they brought on Bruce Lane, who was Jim's younger brother. And Bruce carried the company into the year 2000s and did a really good job and did a great job by hiring me, I'd like to say.
Well, let's go back to 1972. You started in the restaurant business as a dishwasher. Now, I started in the restaurant business as a busboy. So what was the impetus of getting a job as a dishwasher? Was that the only job you could find at the time, or did you want to go in the restaurant business?
Well, there's a restaurant in Dallas on Greenville Avenue called the Railhead Restaurant, and many of the listeners in the local market will know that restaurant because it was one of the most popular on Greenville Avenue. I still remember at 15 years old, my mother dropped me off in the parking lot, and I went in and found a guy that would sit and talk to me, and he ended up hiring me. He took a big chance on me, and I started as a dishwasher and worked my way all the way up. I was there for 9 years. So you just don't see many people, you know, first job in high school, working there for 9 years and staying all the way through college.
Now, what was the next move? You must have had something in between that restaurant and Lane & McLean.
The owners of the Railhead started a company, a small little company called Cheddar's. And as soon as I graduated college, I went from Railhead to, for the same employer, to Cheddar's is management and multi-unit management. So really crafted my skills in the restaurant business.
So for all intents and purposes, that's all you know is the restaurant business and associated machines along with that.
Well, it was an easy transition. The restaurants, both Railhead and Cheddar's, used the Taylor equipment, so I was familiar with it. But more importantly, I think Bruce had the foresight to know that I could walk into a customer and talk food cost and talk labor cost and understand the problems or the challenges of running a restaurant and make friends with them and eventually sell them equipment.
Well, relationships are the thing, but let's go back to your association with Lane & McLean. How did they find you then?
That's a great story. I grew up in a neighborhood around the corner from Bruce Lane and developed a friendship with his youngest son. He and I were best friends all the way through elementary school and on to junior high and high school. I went the path of the restaurant business, and he went the path of working for his dad. And they ran into some problems and needed some help, and Bruce reached out to his son to go find Alan. And being, again, from the restaurant business, it was an easy transition for me. He approached me, and we sat and talked for a few days and made a really good deal.
Well, your website is Lane, L-A-N-E, and A-N-D, McLean, McLain.com. And I'm looking at it right now, and it makes you hungry because you see that, if nothing else, the soft serve, and you start salivating. You have ice cream, frozen yogurt machines, lots of different types of machines. Talk about what you actually have and who you sell to.
Okay. We have ice cream machines. We have shake machines. We have frozen cocktail margarita machines, if you will. We have the frozen carbonated beverage. Some people call them Slurpee-style machines. We have hard pack ice cream machines, and we also have clamshell grills. Who does Taylor sell to? Taylor sells to the big chains, with Wendy's and McDonald's and Burger King's and Chick-fil-A's, and it goes on and on and on. It's the best-selling equipment, refrigeration-type equipment for frozen desserts and products like that in the country. And so we have one of the best brands, and our biggest competitor, like I was telling you earlier, was a 10-year-old Taylor. That's our biggest competitor. You just don't see our competition out there having 20, 25-year-old machines, and we walk into plenty of places that have that older equipment that's still working and still running, so it's a high-value product.
Well, let's talk about the success of your business. We were talking before the show started about Taylor machines, because it's one of the oldest, if not the best, in the industry. You wouldn't have purchased this distributorship. But it's not just the machines. Talk about the quality of machines, but talk about the service that you give your customers all the way from, I guess, Dallas to El Paso.
It's so important to provide the best service out there. We train our technicians. We send them to school. We stock their trucks with more parts than they'd ever need. We take a look at our response times. We take a look at, did we fix it right the first time on a service call? Did we have the part on the truck? Did we have to come back and fix the same problem again within so many days? And we guarantee our work. So the last 5 years, we've really focused on service, on creating the best service in the marketplace, and our customers know that they have a problem, they can call us, and we'll take care of it right away.
Well, a big part of service is processes, and it sounds like you've taken care of that by knowing exactly what parts to have on the truck, so they can get it taken care of, because downtime is not a good thing in the frozen dessert business. You can't say to a customer that comes in the restaurant, oh, we're sorry, our machine is down right now. That doesn't sound real good. So you want to get up as quickly as possible.
As quickly as possible. And we'd like to think that we have the parts on the truck now. You know, if we were to carry every part, we'd have to drive an 18-wheeler to every customer, every service call. But we have enough statistics to know and understand what we need to carry in stock. And also, you know, I credit our service dispatchers who take the calls and understand the customer and the problem that they're having and dispatch the technician and make sure they have the right product on their truck and can take care of it.
We have a great business, great service, but it's not been all a bed of roses since you were working with Lane & McLean. What kind of obstacles have you had to deal with and overcome to achieve the success you've had so far?
When I came on back in 99, as a partner. The manufacturer was not real happy with the succession plan in place, and was told that they need to bring somebody on as the future of the company. I was lucky enough to have been selected as that person, and we had a transition, a little bit of a challenge. The second generation had other values. They had other things going on in their life, and their focus wasn't as good as it should have been, and the manufacturer and the customers recognized that. So we had a little bit of an uphill battle in claiming our territories and who does what, but it all worked out for the best, and here we are today.
Well, you've been with the company about 16, 17 years. What's next for Lane & McLean? Where are you going from here?
We want to grow the business. We want to grow the business substantially, and we have put some things in place. We're changing our operating system, and we're going back and establishing our core values, everything that has to do with the operating system and defining what everybody does and making sure everybody's going in the same direction. And it's going to be a great process. I have a business development group that I'm a member of that's helping me process that. Tammy, our chair for Vestige, is doing such a great job in helping with direction on that. We essentially know what to do, but to be guided to grow the business, to double the business in 5 years, is a real challenge, and I think it's very doable.
You have had a very successful business, but you've probably had a lot of people who have helped you along the way. Any specific mentors or influencers that have had an impact on Alan Rubin and Lane & McLean?
Yes. As I was talking about the job at Railhead where my mother dropped me off in the parking lot, the gentleman that I met.
And who would have known that drop in the parking lot would have lasted for a number of years and put you where you are today?
It's really a great story. I went in and talked to a gentleman named Doug Rogers. Doug Rogers was on the management staff of Railhead at the time. And he was the one, along with his partner, Aubrey Good, who eventually in 81 opened the Cheddar's restaurant chain. So I worked for Doug for 9 years through Railhead, and then after college for about 8 years with Cheddar's. So Doug took a chance on me, and he stuck with me, and I stuck with him. And he's a great guy, great mentor, and my basic management philosophy was all through him. He's a really great guy.
Well, you are local. You have two offices. You have one in Dallas-Fort Worth. You have one in El Paso. Is El Paso a new office, or was that added later on?
We added El Paso about 4 years ago. It was part of our territory that wasn't being serviced as well, so we went ahead and opened an office up there. Have a great branch manager, and we have a great staff out there, good technicians, and they're helping us to cover the West Texas area as well.
So if someone is in the restaurant business or a C-store and they need equipment, if you're north from about the middle of Texas north through all the way to El Paso, Dallas, Fort Worth, you need to contact Lane & McLean.
And it goes all the way to East Texas, too, to Texarkana, which is the other side of our territory. So it's a lot of work. We have satellite technicians that can take care of that with stocking equipment or stocking parts. We stock parts in West Texas as well. So you don't have to be fearful that you're out there on your own not being taken care of.
So it's immediate service or close to it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So tell everybody again how they can get a hold of you and your company on the Internet.
Okay. On the Internet is laneandmclain.com. That's LaneandMcLain.com. Or we can call our number in Dallas is 214-748-7669. Or our El Paso office in the far West Texas area at 915-843-4600.
And if you forgot those numbers, they are on our website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com. Alan, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
It was a pleasure to be here.
Alan Rubin is the CEO of Lane & McLean. This has been a great show. I'd like to thank Alan again, CEO of Lane & McLean, Alan Rubin, and our first guest, Matt Combs, CEO of Your Cause. Thank you very much for joining us. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.